What is up, dudes, dudettes, and all my beautiful people of the interwebs? Bloody Knuckles here, aka the Gothic Gamer, and your resident anime king. It is Saturday, so it is time to go beyond. Welcome to the Smash Podcast. I have to say, today's show is gonna be different. It's gonna be a little bit small. It's gonna be a little bit short. You know, it's just me and one of the boys. Everyone's getting all ready for Easter, so you know it's family time for a lot of the crew. But that doesn't mean we're going to leave you guys hanging. We're going to make sure that we still have some stuff to talk about because there's always news in the pop culture and anime world, and we want to make sure that you are all up to date. Now, before we get into these topics, let me introduce the one panel member we got tonight. It is the resident, no longer up-and-coming fraud, the man with no plan that when he does, it starts at Z, Mr. Operation himself. What's good with you, Op?
What's up, man? I just finished my Studio Ghibli grind like earlier today. I think I'm not
that. I know you've been putting in that work, man.
I know like three or four movies this week, I believe. Because I know I finished Pompoko earlier this week. Then after that, Princess Mononoke.
And now,
Mononoke?
Princess Mononoke.
Mononoke. Okay, yeah. There's that one to finish. Yeah. All right, I did Spirit Away. That was the first one I started with. Then after that, I did Howl's Moving Castle and then Tales from Earthsea. Of course. Real good. Real good movie.
Tales of Earthsea was great, but Princess Mononoke and Howl's Moving Castle are classics, classic films right there. But I was like, yeah, you've been definitely grinding out trying to catch up on that infinite backlog that's at least like 7 years old at this point.
Oh, it's older than that. But like, my biggest gripe to give you right now is like, there's no damn sequels to these movies.
There's some of these films, yeah, I know, right?
That pisses me off so much because like, he sets up like, from the beginning, like the first 10 minutes of the movie, like he sets up so much lore, so much backstory to the world they're getting thrust into. And we get one-shot movies. I'm like, bruh, you can make series out of this shit if you wanted to. Like, I know it's a team that works on it, but oh man, like, so much potential. There's so much they can dive into. There's like so many rich universes they can actually expand upon and make it like an actual series, mini-series, movies, more movies, shows, whatever they want to do. But like, it's their IP, it's their dream, that's what they want to do, just one-shots, that's cool. But damn, man. I'm left out here hanging for more shit just to watch. But no, I got these one-shot movies. But they're all still really good.
No, trust me, dude. I understand exactly what you're coming from. I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you're saying. It's hard out here, man. It's hard out here. And I'm telling you, I understand for anime fans, especially for the Studio Ghibli fans especially, man. So trust me, I understand exactly where you're coming from, yeah. And things like that. I've craved sequels for some of those films. I was like, oh, there's so much here. Why are you guys just leaving it like this? Why do you do this?
Exactly,
why do
you do this? And I'll still say for record, Nausicaä and Valley of the Wind, that's still go for as far as all movies they made, that is still go for me.
Like nothing has touched that. Oh yeah, absolutely. But dude, I'm telling you, it's been great, and I'm definitely seeing you put in that work. So we're gonna have to find a new tagline for you because of the fact that you're no longer frauding anymore. You're finally catching up.
Yeah,
because, so that, you still got some work to do. But me and Soul been hounding you, and you finally putting in that grind to binge it everything.
Yeah, I still got Hackway and Demon Wonderland. I still got to finish that as well. Of course, I've been keeping up with the Promised Neverland. And JoJo a little bit, One Piece, My Hero, those don't count. Those are big ones. What else? Of course, I started Demon Slayer like everybody else as well. I need to start Shield Hero and Fire Force, I think. Yes. That's the new one, Fire Force?
Yes. Yes,
Fire Force. Yeah, I got to start on one too.
Yeah, that's a great one. But yeah, Shield Hero is great. I was like, of course, keeping up with Promised Neverland and everything else. You've been doing great on that.
Yeah.
I know you finally catching up on, or you finally read all of the Berserk manga, so I know you've been putting in that work there.
Oh yeah, I finished that. I caught it like over a year ago. I've just been waiting for it to come back.
I know, you ain't the only one.
I know,
man. We already saw how old boy Soul, shout out to him, lost it and tripped out when he heard the rumors that it's supposed to be coming back. Boy started wilding so hard.
Oh man, the danger memes and the DM, Jesus Christ. No.
Oh yes. Never again. he was ready for that one.
You can't unsee that type of shit, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, but that's why he's a boy. I was like, because he wilds out like that.
Yep. Facts, man.
But Dead Man Wonderland, I tell you, man, don't watch that. Don't watch the anime. Read that manga. Everything else can go to hell.
Oh, definitely. I'm not touching that anime. I'm sticking strictly to the manga.
Yeah, on that one, I will absolutely advise that in every sense of the word. But yeah, man, you've been definitely putting in that work, and glad to see that you're catching up across all the genres. And speaking, you said you started watching JoJo. What are you thinking about that?
Bruh, man, that show, it's good. It's so good, so damn stupid. I
I
can't.
know, that's what's so glorious about it.
I'm still in
And
part
you're
two
just
right
like,
now. It's been a slow hack for me because, like, I'm just doing Ghibli other stuff right now. So I gotta get back into it, be more consistent. But, like, jeez, man, it's just so stupid. I know it gets
I
dope
know.
as you continue, because, like, especially with Dio, the shit he be pulling. I'm like, bruh,
Oh,
I'm just
dude,
waiting
that's
for the
what
shit
makes
to
it so
go left.
glorious. It's so stupid. It's so overly dramatic that it is pure gold. It's what makes it so great. I was
Right.
like, they overdramatize everything literally to overdramatize it, and it's pure genius.
Bro, especially the archaeologist. I don't know his name, but I've seen all the memes about him, bro. Like, I
Oh
seen the
yeah,
little thing for him, but it's over.
that's Joseph. That's Joseph.
Okay. Oh,
Yeah.
it's gonna be wild,
Oh,
man.
dude, that show is literally the best meme generator anyone could ever ask for.
Bro, in the community, like, I'm starting to understand why they stand for it so hard. Like, why they're so loyal to it, especially like the most subtle quotes on the internet. People just jump out and say, is that
Oh.
JoJo reference? I'm starting to get wider, so like this now.
Exactly. Once you understand the JoJo community, you can see why the JoJo community is the way they are. Everyone doesn't get it. Once you do, it makes all the sense.
Right. It's just wild, man.
Oh, it is wild, but for the best reasons. But now we can go on that all day, but let's go ahead and start off with what we got here. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is we got some DC news for all of our people, because there's been plenty of people out there that says DC Universe is all doom and gloom, that it is garbage, it's never going to go anywhere, it's not going to succeed, it was dead on arrival, and that they were just waiting to cut the cord, right? We've been hearing nothing but the naysayers out there hating on it. I know I never said that it was going to die. I just said I wouldn't pay for it, but you know, that's
Because
me. There's a difference right there, people. There's a major difference. But right now, with one of the newest shows that they had coming out, there was an announcement on how many episodes the season was going to be. And recently, there was an article that came out that was saying that they were actually cutting part of the season, and cutting down the order. And a lot of people said, "Oh, you hear that, guys? Budgetary reasons. That's it. They're cutting up and locking up shop." When they also came out and said, "No, that's not the case. We just needed to shorten it out." So originally, Swamp Thing, for those who don't know, was announced to come out in May, and originally was ordered for 13 episodes. But due to the budget, they actually shortened down the order to 10 episodes.
I think it was because of budget and like it was a conflict of interest, I believe, or like creative direction with it behind the scene. I think that's why they cut back on it as well. Trying to remember from the article. Blake, hear me? Well, people, unfortunately, it seems that I cannot hear Bloody. I checked the stream as well. I don't hear from there as well. You can hear him? Oh, so it's just me then. Okay, so it's just me. Well, in that case, I'm gonna hop out, then hop back in. Hopefully, that'll fix it. Oh, you can't hear Bloody. But can you hear me? I want to make sure you can hear me as well. Just Bloody. Seems it's just Bloody, if y'all can hear me.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get in contact with Bloody. Don't know if nobody can hear him, but y'all can still hear me.
Hopefully I'll fix it.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, there you go. There he is.
All right. Were they not able to hear me?
For like the last a minute or so, we couldn't hear you.
Oh, for the last minute. Okay. Well, that's a good thing then. Because I was about to say, man, if we had another episode where I was talking for 10 minutes straight and no one was being heard, I was like, I was going to cry.
A little inside joke.
Yeah. I was like, that's going into the lost tapes, never to be seen again.
Right.
But no, what I was saying is that, you know, them cutting this is not bad, is it? There's nothing wrong with doing a 10-13 episode season, because we can see that those series that do those episode counts can still tell off a good story, don't need to be dragged out.
Right.
Like some shows when they do 26 episodes. Now, sometimes 26 is great if they're going to do a big story, but if it's the first time getting anyone involved, you want to do a short order and let people get accustomed to what to expect before you start putting in those big orders. So right. Personally, I see there's nothing wrong with them doing a 10 episode order and cutting it from 13. And I know you had some strong feelings about this because of some people that we've seen on Twitter and stuff like that saying it. So I know you and Soul are the ones who actually use DC Universe, and I'm going to have to cop that from you here soon. But tell us your thoughts, especially with what you've seen on offer from DC.
Yeah, like I didn't buy this whole Swamp Thing being axed, DC Universe is not doing well. I wasn't buying that shit from the beginning, mainly because Titans, early on, already got approved for a second season as well. And then after that, if you were to do it poorly.
But the visual effects, man, those are like those are like worse than sci-fi visual effects. Let's be real.
Yeah, they are very questionable. Ass in most of the cases as well. But like, unfortunately, that's like the nature of the beast. But like superhero shows, because we've seen the CW shows. The CW has gotten better over time. But still, like it still has.
Oh yeah, the early days of the Flash were signs of that.
Yeah, because they were definitely pushing it with Monster of the Week episodes, stuff like that. Especially with Great White Shark, I think. Great White Shark.
King Shark.
Okay, yeah. Prestige was pretty good, but it was still real TV quality CD we see with them. But yeah, I'm glad Surface is doing well.
I mean, at least they were better than sci-fi. I'll say that.
Yeah, I can definitely say that for a fact. But yeah, like DC Universe is doing well. People are liking series. They're continuing to add more wealth and more value to it as well. Because we've already talked about it. They added the whole DC Con line to it as well. So that's already going to keep people invested in the service as well. So it's doing fine. There's nothing to really worry about. Now, Swamp Thing, on their hand, I'm really excited for this. I do know a little bit about him, especially playing from Injustice and a little bit from the anime series and whatnot. So it's really cool to actually see him get introduced as well. Because like I like the direction DC Universe is going with. Like they're probably gravitating more obscure characters right now, because if you're seeing like Teen Titans, there's a bigger emphasis on Raven right now, and of course Doom Patrol, obviously a superhero team that not many people really know about, but like there's a lot of value, there's a lot of potential with them to have their own series. And now we're getting Swamp Thing as well, so I really like this quote unquote grassroots that DC is going with their anime shows, both their live action shows right now. Is they're putting more limelight on these smart characters that most people won't know about. I really like the angle they're doing right now. So I'm excited for the show to come out. As far as it being, 10 episodes now, not 13, there's nothing wrong with it. This is the first time most people will introduce them as well. It's going to be an origin story for them. We don't need a 20 episode long series just for the introduction for origin story. Because like at that point, it'll be dragged out a little bit too long and people start a little interest in the show as well. So I feel like it's 10 episode mark. I believe it is 10 episodes, right?
Yeah. It's 10 episodes. And Kedron made a good point, is that they did it. We saw Netflix do it with Castlevania. You know, they ordered 4 episodes for the first season, which was a nice setup. And then the second season was 8 episodes, and that did phenomenal. And I'm waiting for that third season, because I just finally caught up on Castlevania right now, because, you know, I finally got that Netflix back. And man, oh, that setup at the end of season 2, I was like, man.
Oh, you didn't catch the second season yet?
No, I was not able to catch it because of the fact that I couldn't find it anywhere else. So I was waiting until I got Netflix again. So I saw that second season. Oh, man.
Damn, that's not when it dropped.
I know. Well, no, because when it dropped, I started it. And then, like, the next day, my Netflix ran out. And then I never renewed it.
You could have told me, man. What came through, bro?
No. But it's all good because I caught up now. So I know everything that's going on. And I'm excited for it because, man. I want to know what they're gonna do with Carmilla and the boys. Poor Hector, man. Poor Hector.
Yeah, man. It was rough, man.
Oh, yeah. It was. It's not pretty. Oh, yeah. Kedron, it is definitely going to be fire. And we need news on the Dragon Prince. Everyone on this show has got mixed feelings about Dragon Prince. Well, it's great that it was coming from the writer for Avatar.
Right. That show on Netflix. Never actually see it.
Yeah. That. It's lukewarm. I'll say that.
Oh, that damn.
Yeah. Oh, dude, no joking. Oh, yeah, no, Novad just said right now, he said Carmilla beat the subjugation into Hector. Oh, that's like, that's understating what she did to the poor boy. She beat the fear into him. He was like about to start crying, man. She's like, you're nothing but a puppy. That's it. Now come, puppy. And he's just like, no. And she's like, oh, you're so cute. And then just beat the fear into that boy. She beat obedience. I was like, oh my God, poor Hector. Oh man, that was crazy. That was great. But yeah, man, I was so happy that I was finally able to see that. And then of course I watched Ultraman because I was happy with that. And I got something on Ultraman talking about that season. Oh yeah, she straight Jedi mind fucked him. She really did. She really did indeed. But I got Ultraman on work. Of course, I finally caught up on Baki because I've been needing to catch up on that, and then finally finished up the last season of Voltron. So I've been catching up on all my stuff. Then, of course, you know, we caught a. I finally finished up a. What was it? Umbrella Academy, and I know you were really liking Umbrella Academy too, because that nice, comic nice series. Man. Oh yeah, Fives is my boy. Fives is the boy.
It was definitely a pleasant surprise with the Umbrella Academy. I wasn't expecting to be a good show, but everybody kept raving about, all right, let me check it out, see how it is. It turned out pretty good.
Yeah, it was really good. But now, hopping on over from Swamp Thing, we're going to hop on over to our next topic, which is actually going to be about Masters of the Universe. For anyone who doesn't know, Masters of the Universe, everyone knows the main man, He-Man. Everyone knows that good old boy, beautiful man. And of course, everyone knows Skeletor. I know you have plenty of Skeletor memes at the ready up whenever you drop your stuff in the DMs. Yeah, you do. Crazy dude. But yeah, so there's been talks that there was supposed to be a new Masters of the Universe series, and it was going to be coming out on Netflix, I believe it was, and it was originally supposed to be scheduled for 2019. It was supposed to come out this fall. However, due to some issues, they are actually pushing the production back to 2020. They didn't give a time frame within 2020, like originally was announced for fall of 2019. However, they are still stating that it is still supposed to be coming. It's not the series, it's the movie, actually. It was pushed out of its December 2019 slot into 2020 with no date yet. So that I'm kind of okay with that. I really loved He-Man growing up. I think when me and you were kids up, you know, that was coming at the tail end of some of those late 80s and 90s cartoons, you know, early mornings be able to watch like G.I. Joe and He-Man and Thundercats and all the classics, right?
Well, I know that Transformers in the 80s, right?
Which one?
The first generation Transformers.
Yes, Gen 1 Transformers was in the 80s indeed.
Okay, yeah. What was that old ragtag Sonic show? Those anime? Was it 90s, I think?
Yeah, the 90s was Sonic, the Sonic cartoon.
Yeah, the one with the Rebels Revolution. I think that was like 90s.
Yeah, and then it was like early 2000s that we get the more updated one when they did
Sonic X.
Sonic a little. Yeah, Sonic X. Yeah, that's the one. Sonic X was early 2000. Yeah, I remember watching that one. I actually really like that one. But yeah, the first generation Transformers came out in 84 and ran all the way to 92 before they switched it up into Generation 2, which started in 92.
Bet. Okay.
Yeah, so for all you Transformer heads out there, yeah, got you. Yeah. Hey, Starbuck. Good to see you in the chat there, bud. I see you over there. But yeah, Masters of the Universe. I'm really looking forward to this live action because I do want them to do He-Man, right? I love that we're seeing a renaissance of all these old 80s and 90s cartoons and TV shows and stuff getting either updated TV shows and cartoons or getting movies. And a lot of them are getting done properly. Some not so much. You know, we can look at Transformers and our resident Transformer lovers. You know, shout out to our boy Lord Cognito over there from the Iron Lords and, of course, K-Mega. Massive Transformer fans, you know, they loved what they did at first with Michael Bay. I think we all did, but you know, after that, you know, it's it went downhill because that man didn't know what he was doing or anything like that.
You messed it up, man. Got corrected in the chat.
I know. I'm sorry, Starbuck. I didn't know, but it's good to see you in the chat, girl. Good to see you. But you know, was I saying? All right, we saw Transformers get its comeback, right? We saw with the new director who did the Bumblebee film. That was very much old school Transformers. That was Gen 1 Transformers. That was great. That was exactly what Transformers could do. So I want them to do the same thing with Masters of the Universe. You know, look at what they did with Voltron, right? DreamWorks doing their animated cartoon on Netflix. Beautiful updated version of Voltron. Love it. The characters feel very much like how they are, but they feel updated and changed. You know, Pidge was changed from a little boy to a girl, but very much, you know, tomboyish, and it works. Yeah. You know, you wouldn't think otherwise, and that's why I'm looking forward to what they're doing with Saint Seiya. You know, everyone knows I am a Saint Seiya fan. Pegasus is my boy. I'll talk about Saint Seiya and defend that all day, but, you know, one of the biggest changes that they announced, Andromeda, is being made from a boy to a girl. So he's going to be Dragon's little sister, which to me makes sense because Andromeda was already, you know, very effeminate, you know, kind of boy. So him being made into a girl, that's not so far out of place. That's understandable. That's definitely well within the realm of possibilities and definitely okay with that. So we're seeing these updates to these old shows that are giving them great life that they need to really bring that renaissance back so these older fans can be like, oh, I remember that. And yo, all these quick, new fans like us can get into it.
Coming out. Is that really a thing? Like, I remember it was an anime. He's going to like recreate it. Like an art style is similar.
Oh, let's not talk about the Blunder Cats, all right? Let's not talk about that.
Is that still a thing? Is that still in production?
Yeah, yes, that is a thing. And speaking of that, right? So the reason I'm saying is that, you know, there was She-Ra, the She-Ra series that was on Netflix, right? They have a She-Ra series that was on Netflix. That was She-Ra and the Princess of Power, right? They did an update for her, and you know, for those who don't know, that's He-Man's twin sister and things like that. But you know, she got her focus, and Netflix did a great job with that. But way back in the early 2000s, we had an updated version of the Thundercats that was kind of done in the same art style as what we would expect with like Avatar, The Last Airbender, and stuff like that. That did a really good job of telling a good story and updating the characters of the Thundercats, but it didn't get a lot of attention. And then they announced that they're doing a new show of the Thundercats, what I call it, the Blender Cats, because it's done in that like really bad Cartoon Network art style of like Uncle Grandpa and some of those things.
It's that real Afrochip art style that's been popularized on Cartoon Network since like what?
Yeah.
2013, 14? Maybe around that year.
I would say probably about 2011. Like the last real good shows was like, you know, Flapjack and Chowder. Yep. And they had a few good ones now here and there, but you know, Gumball Reckon It, Regular Show Reckon It, you know, Steven Universe is Reckon It. You know, those are the strong ones. But a lot of the other ones just like, I can't co-sign that.
Yep.
Nope. Not going near that one either.
Mm-hmm.
See, Keidra knows what I mean when I say Blunder Cats. No, Starbuck, the new She-Ra was actually really good. It really was a really great adaptation and telling, you know, She-Ra's story instead of focusing on He-Man. So that was really great. Yeah, Voltron was done amazingly well. Novat, thank you for defending the actual good Thundercats reboot. Yeah, no one wanted that. And now we're stuck with the crap that we got now.
Yo, Hardy, you're absolutely right, man. Cartoon Network are in the business more so of selling toys. That's why some shows either ended short, ended faster than we expected to, or got canned altogether. Because if those toys aren't selling, it's wraps for them. But yeah, thank you for reminding
me. Yeah, speaking of toys, that's why Cartoon Network had cut. They cut Symbiote Heroes. I think that was what it was called. I can't remember. There was one called Symbiote Heroes or something like that on Cartoon Network.
Wait, I think it was Symbiotic Titan?
Yeah, Symbiotic Titan. That's the one. Yeah.
Oh my show. And they shit canned that one too, man. Dang.
Yeah, Symbiotic Titan. That one I loved, right? That one had a great story. The characters were good, but it was not selling toys. And that series got canceled after 12, 13 episodes. And that pissed me off. Bro, I know that the like, creator,
like a modern version of what, Samurai Jack from back in the day, bro. Like, just ooh, and that story too, bro. Like, that really
took me apart. Symbiotic Titan. I know that the creators themselves have said that they want to do another season, but they'd have to look at how they would get it out there. Mm-hmm. But man, that one was so good, and I was so mad that got canceled because that one I actually dug. Right, that one was really dope.
Yep. Definitely want to sleep.
Yeah, Starbuck over there. She liking Chowder and Gumball. Yeah, who doesn't like those two shows?
Yeah, I love Chowder growing up. I will say, like, the later seasons, once I deviate away from, I guess, focusing on food, that's where my appreciation for it started weighing back a little bit. I was like, like, these episodes are funny and they're cool, but like, can you get back to the food? Because like, that was like a big selling point of Chowder. Because like, it was like a very unique cartoon. It has a heavy emphasis on food as well, the culinary arts. And from like the deviate from that later on in the series, it's a little shaky for me.
Yeah, because that's when it became just kind of like awkward for a little bit because of the fact that wasn't the focus. I mean, everyone in that show was named after a type of food. Come on, like keep the aesthetic going, doing it right. But you know, Masters of the Universe, it got pushed back. And for those who don't know who was directing it, it's actually being done by the director. Let's see. It's doing Joel Silver, Jeff Wadlow, and MGS David S. Goyer. They're known for doing the Dark Knight trilogy, Man of Steel, and some of those other ones. So it has a lot of the screenwriters and directors from those films helping out on it, but it's getting pushed back. So it's going to be interesting to see what's done on this film. You know, I kind of wanted to be a little bit more hardcore, but I still wanted to keep that kind of lightheartedness. That's kind of what made He-Man stand out. You know, yes, everyone wants their dark and gritty. Everyone wants to see all that, but not everything needs to be all dark and gritty and that kind of aspect. You know, you need to keep some of the elements of what made those shows so popular and what really gave their appeal to the people who would appreciate and watch those shows. So that's really my hope for what they're doing with it. And yes, Starbuck, you're not wrong. It really has been stuck in development hell for years. It's been in development hell since 2007. So the fact that they're working on the film and it's this close to getting out, I really hope that they just do it right. You have any thoughts on it?
I mean, like, if everyone pushes back 2020, I'm all for it. Because I'm reading an article and they said, like, they haven't got a cast together or official cast for the movie yet. I believe that's one of the things they listed off. So, like, give it the time it needs, because last thing we need is for it to come out as a dub, because that'll even hurt the IP even more, because you're trying to bring it back, get a new audience, get new fans together, or old ones as well, and doesn't live up to the hype, doesn't live up to those expectations. It's going to be a disservice to them at that point. So, yeah, give it the time it needs. I don't mind waiting for it.
I agree. I completely agree. I'm perfectly fine with waiting for this for it to come out. I just want it to be done right. That's my only thing, is I just want it to be done right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that said, we're going to hop on over to our next topic here that we have. And that's actually some news here from Disney for our comic book fans still going on with that. So we're hopping on over from the DC and old school stuff over to our Marvel side. And they actually teased some of the plans that Marvel Studio has for San Diego Comic-Con. And one of the biggest things that's been coming out here is is the fact that they're going to be showing off and start talks of Spider-Man Far From Home and where it's going to stand in that leading into their D23 event. And then kind of gives some early thoughts of what to expect from Phase 4 starting out after what we're going to see in Endgame. And actually, speaking on that, Kevin Feige actually sat down in an interview and actually said that Endgame is actually not going to be the end of Phase 3. Actually, Spider-Man Far From Home will officially mark the end of Phase 3 and the end of the Infinity Saga. And then from there, they'll kickstart with Phase 4. So that's why Spider-Man Far From Home, we've known about for a little bit, as confirmed after Endgame, is that it's actually was supposed to be the end mark for Phase 3 of the MCU. Now, hearing that when he made that official announcement, that actually kind of surprised me that this was going to be the film that kind of helps to finalize everything. But I think with knowing what we're going to see come this week, guys, yeah, that's right. 6 more days until Endgame, baby. And you know, we're going to be all over that. Op, did you get your ticket?
Hell yeah, man, got a ticket. Going that Friday.
That's my afternoon. Boy. That's my boy. I got my ticket as well. But you know, we're going to be all over that and getting everything all set up and everything. So we got that all taken care of. But after the results of what comes out in Endgame, Far From Home is going to set up the very next key point that's going to end off the recovery from whatever happens in Endgame, leading into what the MCU is going to look like coming into Phase 4.
Yeah. Didn't they end the previous phases with an Avengers film? Or did they end it on different films? I don't remember the exact time.
No, typically the Avengers films ended each one. So the first Avengers was the end of Phase 1, and then the next film that came right after it started Phase 2. Then Age of Ultron was the end of Phase 2, and then the first film that came right after that was the start of Phase 3.
Okay, so yeah, this is a little bit of a mix-up for them. But yeah, that did catch you off guard a little bit to end it off with Spider-Man. If that's the case, then they'll probably have something at the end, or maybe like something that gets throughout the Spider-Man movie to get to properly conclude the phase, to move in on Phase 4 next.
But, yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it's definitely odd, because I really wasn't expecting this from Kevin Feige. But yeah, excited to see eventually Endgame. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with Spider-Man Far From Home, because like the timeline right now is just like, we're not 100% sure what's going on, because like
it's all confusing poopity scoop,
right? So that's a little bit annoying.
Look, and we're hardcore fans over here, right? We keep track of everything DC, we keep up track of everything Marvel, and there's some things that we've even gone to when they had unveiled that official timeline. Remember how we're just like, yo, y'all are changing up the dates of what we know, and that's changing up a lot and doing some retcon stuff. We called it out. We are not blind to that stuff. While we definitely have our preferences, we are not stupid. We are the fans that are doing it right. And that was one of those things that was just like, yo, you need to fix either the movies or this timeline, or y'all are going to have to go back and make a lot of changes because this don't make sense.
Definitely. It's funny because like you hear about interviews, Kevin Feige has the master plan to work all this together, and then we get it in real life. Like, just like, there's cracks in the walls, man. There's cracks in the walls. Like, stuff seeping through. You got to patch it up, bro. It's good to see them. Yeah,
but I mean, I'll say this: their adaptability and quick changes have always been really good. I'll say that they are quick to catch on to that and make some changes throughout the series to make it right. But then and you look back at the past stuff, and it's just like, a little bit of foresight might have helped here,
right? Definitely.
But I'm just saying, Kevin Feige, hire me for the next phase. Hire me for the next 2. I'm telling you, I got the plan. It's in my mind. I'm working on the video. Tweet it out to Kevin. Tweet it out to Marvel. Tweet it out to the Russo brothers. They know what I'm talking about. You're going to want to see this video.
Yeah. I really do hope Spider-Man does blow me away, because like as far as like hype, I'm officially hyped for is like Age of Ultron. After I've been like, I've been excited, but like it's been tempered.
Hey, I'm hyped. I'm actually hyped for just because of Mysterio, because one, Jake Gyllenhaal, that's my boy. But two, I like what they're doing with Mysterio. So I'm kind of what they showed, what they showed with him actually doing the magic with, for those who don't know, that was the elementals that he was fighting. I don't know if it's the actual elementals or those who actually know the history of Mysterio. He's a visual effects master from Hollywood. So, you know, he could be doing some crazy, crazy master visual effects going on to kind of sell that aspect. So I'm just kind of looking forward to what they're going to do.
You know what? Knowing them, the elements was probably something a byproduct of Tony Stark when he shut down the visions from his company. Let's be real, because like the amount of shit they tie back into Tony Stark and his company in the MCU is a little bit crazy at this point.
Everyone's related to Tony Stark. Everyone's related to Tony Stark. Let's be real. Everyone, either it's always about Howard or Tony. Howard or Tony. Everyone did it.
We're gonna find out a Rocket Raccoon was a science experiment from his company.
Starbuck said that she can't get into all the Endgame stuff. She says the Marvel Universe is too big for her to keep up with. She tends to like DC stuff for Batman and the darker portion of the DCU, but that's about it when it comes to she enjoys all comic verses. Yeah, I mean, I understand. Like, the hardcore fans are the ones who really look into it. The fans who kind of watch it throughout the years really kind of started getting understanding it and really getting into it at that point. But I definitely understand where you're saying that it can be a lot to keep up with, because there's a lot of little things that go on that we had to break down. Like, I mean, me and the guys looked for like several like recap videos, and we found one that was like what, 25 minutes that led everything up to Infinity War, so that way we can review the timeline before they made the official timeline. And we're just like, yo, they're gonna have to fix this from everything that we knew. So, I mean, we talked in lengths about every little thing. So, trust me, I understand. Yeah, they're definitely going to retcon some stuff because of Captain Marvel. There's no denying it.
I still can't see her as the strongest Avenger. She really hasn't shown me anything.
I mean, she showed the binary form, but I was like, I need to see more. I was like, she's got a lot of proving to do. I was like, because while I love binary and stuff like that, I was like, I need to see a little bit more from her.
I mean, from a superpower, it does look more flashy than what Thor is bringing right now. But like,
yeah, I mean, that's when she went binary, that's why she was able to fly in space. Is that's how she did all that. She was in binary form.
Yeah, we see that. I'm looking at like physical strength right now, because we know Thor, he fought Hulk in First Avengers. He went toe-to-toe with him. Bree hasn't shown us anything that matched that kind of strength just yet at this point.
I mean, her closest thing is the fact that she grabbed a missile and threw it back into space.
Yeah. But she also was using binary force as well. I'm talking about using raw.
Well, I mean, you got to think, well, think about this. Those are like nuclear Kree bombs that she like grabbed and threw back into space.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was thinking about it right now. You're just like, you know what? We didn't see anything. I was like, wait a second. She grabbed a rocket in space that was coming through the stratosphere and turned it around and threw it back into space. Like, you have to have some hell of velocity. You're right though, Hardy, that we are told she's powerful. She hasn't shown us anything powerful. Like I said, I know some of the subtleties of her powers and stuff like that, but we haven't seen anything to really show up. And yes, Hulk did do that, because he grabbed that giant Chitauri lizard worm and threw that right back into space.
He did? I know he punched one of them and pretty much like,
yeah, well, he got on top of it, punched it out, it crashed into the building, and then he threw it. He kind of threw it back up into the other Chitauri that were invading.
I don't remember that scene. No, weird.
But we'll go investigate. But yeah, we've seen that Hulk has definitely shown his strength. Yes, he has.
Yeah, up until Infinity War, he got bodied. Oh shit. Man, look how he built up over his phases. Thanos stripped him of all that shit immediately. He took the belt, took the crown from him in one scene. That was he was does.
Oh yeah, Thanos treated him like a little bastard child. He said, "Boy, sit your ass down." Just took that belt to his ass. He's like, "No, you ain't going nowhere."
Right, literally kissed
the ring, baby. He got that work. Unfortunately, they bodied the boy, and that's not nice. That's not fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're gonna start seeing some early plans come San Diego Comic Con. I'm excited for it. I know Buck said that she's getting her E3 plans. I'm gonna be at E3. You know, I'm gonna be there. G's gonna be there. So you know, you're gonna have your Smash Podcast boys on deck. You know, Cyrus is trying to get over there. He's trying to get on.
We're gonna see.
Yeah, we're gonna see. And then I know I might be. I won't be at San Diego Comic-Con, but you know, I will be at New York City Comic-Con for a fact. I already got that in the works. So expect your boy over there at New York City. It's not going to be the same because Stan the Man's gone. And yeah, I'm going to cry about that when I'm there. But nevertheless, don't want to get myself depressed. We're going to go on to the next topic. Now hopping on over from our pop culture and comic book news, we're going to hop on over to our Japanese side into the anime. And one of the first things that I got for people is, you like it? You like samurais? You like ninjas? You like classic lo-fi chill hip-hop? Well, do we got the perfect show for you. That's right. We're talking about the one and only, the legendary Samurai Champloo is now streaming. But not where you would think it is. You can actually watch the entire series in its entirety, all episodes on YouTube. It is actually up to be able to stream and watch the entire series on YouTube itself. So you can actually go back and watch that whole series for those who haven't seen it or who never seen the full aspect of it because of where it ended back on Toonami back in the days. It didn't finish up the series. So you'll be able to actually finish that there. So to all my history lovers, to all my samurai ninja lovers, all my Japanese enthusiasts, definitely go watch it out, especially because it has one of the best, one of the absolute best soundtracks in anime, and that is because of the man himself, Nujabes, RIP, because that man is the one who really brought that lo-fi chill hip-hop to the forefront. If it wasn't for him, we might not have had the renaissance that it caused well afterwards. His music is still so relaxing and iconic to this day. What are your thoughts on that, Op? Oppa Doodles, I see you over there typing the chat. Speak, boy.
I'm sorry, I mute myself. I'm talking about Samurai Champloo.
Samurai Champloo. Yeah, Champloo.
Champloo, okay. Cool.
Champloo.
Yes. Yeah. It's cool. It's definitely streaming on YouTube. I got to check out for myself because I never finished the series. I started a little bit of it when I was a kid, but never just go through like the other one I finished earlier, Afro Samurai. So I got to go through that and finish it as well. So yeah,
and the movie. Don't forget the movie.
Movie too, as well. But yeah, it's funny because I don't remember the show that much, but I remember the music. So I'm a big fan of Nujabes, and like just hearing some like some pieces or sound from Samurai Champloo, and hearing some of his work as well. Like really, it's like a nostalgia bomb for me sometimes. So I'm really happy. Oh. Like it's definitely streaming on YouTube. If it was, I was gonna pirate it anyway. I'm sorry.
He said the P word. We can't say that.
Hey man, I'm gonna lie to the viewers. I'm not gonna lie to them.
We all pirates here. Where's my hat? Where's the Straw Hat crew? Right. I'm the king of the pirates right now.
Gotta show off that bounty, man. But yeah, I'm gotta definitely show it off. At this stream right now on YouTube. So I actually officially support it.
You don't understand, Novad. I'm the next Yonko, all right? Lead that pirate industry. Oh, no. Just making this worse. yeah, no, but dude, Nujabes is always one of those. Is never not a time where you can just listen to Nujabes,
right?
Like honestly, that mood is like 24/7. You could always listen to that all the time, and exactly. It always just fits. And so much of his music was in that show that every time I hear it, it literally just starts making me think of scenes from Samurai Champloo, and that's how you know his music was perfectly tied. So, Buck, I know you said that you still need to watch it. You can watch it all right now. So, after the show, get on YouTube and go search up Samurai Champloo. Start checking that out. They did not change a lot of it. I think that was in the remake, but this is the original stuff. This is the original. But there wasn't a lot of changes to the series. It just was never finished. Way back, and they finally went back and were able to do that second part of the story arc and finish up the series. Oh, Hardy, I'm right there with you on catching up on One Piece. I'm working on that slowly. I think I'm on episode 213 where I last left off. I had to take a break because I'm getting to the point up where it's like 5 minutes of refreshers in the beginning and then like a 3-minute outro. So I was like, I had to like find out like the perfect point to like skip all the fluff. And I'm just like, great. Now the episodes are like 15 minutes and I'm going through so many. I'm just like, oh, this is too much. I was like, I need a break. I need to focus on other things or it's going to overload my brain. And yet I sat through all of Case Closed. So you know how it is. Anyways. Yeah, I'm happy for this news because Samurai Champloo is one of those series that definitely deserve to be finished. I'm glad that they put it all out there so people can go back and watch it. Samurai Champloo is one of those animes that definitely do stand the test of time, just like classics like Yu Yu Hakusho, Cowboy Bebop, Trigun, not necessarily Inuyasha because, you know, there was a point in Inuyasha where I'm just like, nope, done. I had to watch the movies because that closed it all up. But like that later half, oh no, I'm not going there again. But I digress. Samurai Champloo definitely stands it. Big O stands that test of time because, you know, it's basically Batman with a giant robot. Who doesn't like that? Yeah, right. Yeah, it definitely makes you like the characters you didn't like initially. Yeah, if you go into One Piece, just go straight into sub only. Don't even go into dub and just go with it from there. Exactly, know that. Big O, it's showtime. Now, on to our next topic that we got here. Just keeping it trucking along. From Samurai Champloo, we're going to actually hop on over to another classic that still stands the test of time. And is actually one of my favorite mechas. And that's actually Code Geass, Lelouch of the Rebellion. But more specifically, it is for the English dub of the anime film Lelouch of the Resurrection. And for those who don't know where Lelouch of the Resurrection is, it actually takes place shortly after the original series ends. So they're actually going to be talking about where it actually picks off, because there's actually been talks of a sequel series for a little while to do and continue after Code Geass. I've actually been one of the most prominent people that said they do not need to continue Code Geass. It ended perfectly. They don't need to do another series, another spinoff or anything like that. If they want to do a spinoff, do a spinoff of some of the other people within the rebellion kind of picking up after Lelouch or during, or another side story that's going on at the same time, but not to continue directly where it left off. Because of the fact, the biggest reason is because of the fact that it had one of the most perfect endings that was completely bittersweet. It was set up perfectly. It did not need any sort of continuation because of the fact that if they try to do anything, they're going to ruin its legacy. Similar to why the director of Cowboy Bebop never wanted to do another episode or a movie after where the last episode ended, because he liked to keep it disambiguous, leave the ending up to the viewers and figuring out what happened to Spike, and never wanting to ruin that by giving it any sort of a definitive conclusion, because he liked the way that it ended. It gives enough of people can get come to their own conclusion, but it gives it that bittersweet ending whichever way happens, you know. What are your thoughts on that? Oh, well, before I get your thoughts on the film itself, let's talk about the cast that was in it. And I actually like the cast that they got. So first up, playing Lelouch himself, Lelouch V. Britannia, is actually being played by Johnny Young Bosch. And for those who don't know who Johnny Young Bosch is, he was actually played the Black Power Rangers, the Black Power Ranger in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. He was the one who actually played Adam Park, who kind of picked up after Zach had left. And he also was on there for quite some time. You know, he was in the Power Rangers Turbo to Zeo series, as well as he also played in the Turbo film, which I had that on VHS. He was also in Power Rangers in Space and Operation Overdrive before that had ended his series. I think he was on 3 to 4 different iterations of the Power Rangers. So that's really cool to see. Next up, playing Cece, we have Kate Higgins is going to be voicing her. And for those who don't know, Kate Higgins was in series such as she was in Agria and Shilf and Tales of Zillia 2. She also played Alisa Amelia and God Eater 2 Rage Burst. So she played Alyssa in the God Eater series. She was also Asta in Dot Hack / GU Volume 3. Some of the other things that she's noted for, she played Deborah Harper in Resident Evil 6. She was Cordelia G. Grangaza in Valkyria Chronicles. She was Candy Cane in Rumble Rose. And she also played no, we're not going to talk about that. Never mind. Just ignore that. Not even going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. She was also Maylene in the Powerpuff Girls, the new reboot series. She was also Megumi and Zatch Bell and the video games. So she definitely has a lot of experience with a lot of video game voice acting. So it's going to be interesting to see her play this because she's done a lot of those characters and stuff like that. Next for Suzaku Kururugi, we have Yuri Lowenthal is going to be doing their voice. And they're known for actually playing Tails. He's actually known for playing Tails in some of the series. No, wait, no. Wrong person. Why did that not open up? Come on now. My thing is being dumb. Yeah, so he was known for playing Advocate in Grim Grimoire. He played Albert in Romancing Saga. He also did Arnard Vasquez in Wild Arms 4. He played Bakunetsu Maru in SD Gundam Force. Let's see some other more prominent roles that he had. Oh, he played Derek Stiles and Leland Phoenix in the Trauma Center series from both Second Opinion, Under the Knife 2, and Trauma Center New Blood. So I actually really like that. I can get behind that. He also played Finn McCauley in Resident Evil 6. He also was Gig in Solon Nomad and the World Eaters. And he was Haseo and Dot Hack and the Dot Hack games, both Rebirth, Reminiscence, and Redemption. So he's been around in all of those. So we're definitely seeing that. Next up, we have B-Tools being done by Chris Sabat himself. The man needs no introduction. That's right, Vegeta himself. Elizabeth Maxwell is going to be playing Shamna. And for those who don't know about some of hers, she did Abby in Criminal Minds. She also played Anvil in Aerospace AI and Star Citizen. She was Becca Mustang in the Focus Puller movie. She did. She was actually Khalifa in the Dragon Ball Legends video game. And she also did the voice for Khalifa and Kefla in Xenoverse 2. She was Iana in Skyforge. She was Julie. She plays Julie in Street Fighter V. So that kind of gives you an idea of the voice actor herself. Who else do we got? We got Gabe Kunda is going to be playing Kashapat. Or Kushapat. My bad. I always pronounce his name wrong. And for those who don't know, Gabriel Kunda, he was in Attack on Titan. He did voice acting in there. He was also played Derek Ross and Double Decker. Doug and Kirill, the anime series, he did the voice acting in that. He was also in Garo, The Vanishing Line, Disastrous Life of Psyche K. He also did Chaos Child. He also plays Goldre Poizot from Black Clover in the English translation. And he also plays Tiger in One Piece for the English dub. So that kind of lets you know who he does. Man, there's a lot of people that they're putting. So they have the full cast here. So I'm going to be going for a little bit. So please excuse me. I want to make sure I give everyone the right information. Right now we have Jared Gilmore was announced to be playing Shalio and doing his voice acting. So for that, he played Henry Mills and Once Upon a Time. That's his only credit. So have you seen Once Upon a Time and seen that character of Henry Mills? You'll know Jared. Next, we have Karen Strassman is playing Callan Kozuki, and their history is they did Accelera and Crimson Gems Saga, the video game. They also did Aegis and Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle. Oh, okay. She also played Aegis in Persona 3 Dancing in Moonlight, Persona Q Shadow of the Labyrinth, another big one. She did Anna and Fire Emblem Awakening and Fire Emblem Fates. Oh, she was also the voice for Annette Birkin in Resident Evil 2 Remake. Oh, okay. If that's the case, then I can definitely see her as that character. What about you on that one, Op? You actually played through Resident Evil 2 Remake. Next up, we have Kim My Guest as Sayoko Shinozaki. And Kim Mai has played Aurora Lee and Maximo Ghost to Glory. Oh, that's an old school one. She played Celestia in Final Fantasy Type Zero. She did Crystal and Marvel Ultimate Alliance, the video game. She was also Holly Summers in No More Heroes. And she was also Isabella Keys in Dead Rising. Oh, okay. She played Isabella. Oh, she did the voice for Isabella. Okay. I definitely did that. And oh, of course. She's also the most. Man, I can't believe I forgot that name for a second. She's also known for playing Mei Ling in the Metal Gear Solid series. So, yeah, I completely can get behind Kim Mai guest being in here because Mei Ling was always one of my favorite characters. I think she had a perfect voice actor. Next up, Liam O'Brien for Lloyd Asplund. He's going to be in there as well. And Liam's notable work is that he was an additional voice in Dirge of Cerberus, Final Fantasy VII. He was also in Operation Flashpoint, Dragon Rising. He played Air Raid in Transformers War for Cybertron. He was also Akahiko Sonata in Blazebrew Cross Tag Battle, Persona 3 Dancing in Silent Light, Persona 4 Arena, Persona Q, and Shin Megami Tensei 3 Persona. He was also Aquaman and Batwing Computer and the JLA Adventures Trapped in Time. He played Angel and Wolverine and the X-Men. He also was known for playing Count Waltz and Eternal Sonata. He also played Ku Chaspel and Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Rings of Fate. And he's most notably known for Kumor and Tales of Vesperia. So Liam is going to be cast as Lloyd Asplund. Next up, we have Patrick Seitz as Forgner. And some of his history comes from the fact that he did additional voices in Fire Emblem Warriors, also Monster University, but specifically he was Basilio in Fire Emblem Awakening. He was Bass Armstrong in Dead or Alive 5 and 6. He was Batman and Batman the video game. He was also the voice for Bizarro in Injustice 2. And most notably, he's the voice actor for Bob in Tekken 6, 7, and Tekken Tag 2. And he was Brahms in Valkyria Profile 2, Samaria. He was also the voice for Carlos Hernando in the Detective Pikachu game. So, yes, Patrick is going to be playing Forgner. Next, we have Rebecca Forstalt as Nunnally V. Britannia. And some of her notable works is the following, as I can load it up. She was known for doing additional voices in Dot Hack Mutation, Outbreak, and Quarantine. She was also played Hecht in Grandia 3, Harrell in Dot Hack Infection. She was Izzy Randall in Robotech Battlecry. She did Karen in Delta Phi. She also did the voice for Lin Minmay in Robotech Battlecry as well. But most notably, she was Monami or Usami from the Danganronpa games. She was in both Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc, Danganronpa 2 Goodbye Despair, as well as V3 Killing Harmony. So she played Monami, which is Monokuma's sister, which is the pink and white bunny, whereas Monokuma is a bear who puts everyone in despair. Get it? Get it? Ha! It's bad. And then, of course, the last person that we have was Rich Sommer is being cast as Shastal, and he has no notable voice acting history, so this looks to be one of his first credited works. So, quite the cast that they have here. Yeah, there is definitely a lot of people that they have going on, so a lot of people definitely going on. Novad, you saw that there's also the voice of Neron Ichigo from Bleach. Oh, yeah, he was doing that. Hey, I wasn't being a spoiler, Starbuck. At least I don't think so. I don't know what I spoiled, if I did anything. Can you also hear me?
I can still hear you.
Okay, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Someone said I can't hear him, and I didn't know if he was talking about me or if I cut out, but it looks like they heard me. Yeah, Keidra, there's definitely – they got a very solid lineup for the entire main character's cast, so that's really awesome to see. But probably my favorite get is that they got Johnny Young Bosch to do Lelouch, Christopher Sabat is playing Batul, and Kate Higgins as CC. I think those are great. And then Yuri Lowenthal doing Suzaku. And then the rest of the cast is definitely all some really talented actors to do to do a lot of those characters, and a lot of them I could definitely see those characters being portrayed by who they're doing. So I'm really happy for that. Okay, yeah. So they're saying my audio was up. Fine. I just Ooh. Wasn't sure for a second. Okay, cool. But hearing about some of this cast and who we got playing who, what are your thoughts on it? It's a hell of a lineup, man.
It's quite a lineup. But, you know, I haven't started Code Geass yet, so I really can't get as hyped as you are for the series. So I'm feeling a little indifferent about it. It's a cool caster assembling. It's really it's a really solid A-team they got right here. But, like, I haven't started the original series yet, so I really can't go into depth about it as well. So I really can't say anything until I start it for myself.
Okay, yeah. So you haven't seen Code Geass yet?
No, I haven't started it yet.
That's one of the next ones you got to put at the top of your list because that's definitely a absolutely must watch series. I'm telling you, that is one that you have to see. It is one of my favorite mechas, probably one of the most politically intriguing series I know. So it's so worth the watch. I'm telling you, it is absolutely worth checking out and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's definitely on the list.
Oh yeah, and the power of the Geass, probably one of my favorite powers, dude. One of my absolute faves. One of the coolest powers from anime that I've ever seen.
Nice. So nice.
Definitely up there. Absolutely got to watch. Definitely one not to sleep on. One of those classics from the early 2000s. So you know. Definitely got to check that out, but definitely a star-studded cast for their English dub, you know, especially with the fact that they're that, you know, some of them, you know, is definitely an obvious, you know, getting Chris Sabat, you know, the Vegeta man himself, but he's definitely been around the industry and done a lot of things. Yes, his voice tends to stay the same, but the characters that his voice works for, you know, tend to all work. So I'm really interested to see how he's going to do Bristol, because this one I feel is going to be a little bit different. I say a little bit for Batul, but I hope that he's able to really kind of give Batul a much different feel than the others. But definitely a solid cast so far.
Yeah, definitely. I would say Chris Sabat, he sounds the same pretty much everywhere he goes, in my opinion.
I agree. I've been saying that, and I've made my case in point every time, especially like he does great as All Might. Don't get me wrong. People who love the English show for My Hero, all you guys, I respect it. It's a great cast. Personally, I don't like it, but the team that they got doing that dub is very talented. They do a lot with it. They are committed to it. I personally just can't do it. But Chris Sabat does amazing as All Might. He's very committed to that role. However, there's times where I pointed out, I was like, I can't just not see Vegeta when I hear Chris Sabat. And during the Nomu fight and All Might fight at the end of the first season, that little speech he gets when he figures out exactly what Nomu's ability is, when you hear him start talking, all I can hear is Vegeta trying so hard to be nice and just be like heroic. And I sent you that clip multiple times. It's just like, this is all I hear. And everyone's just like, no, I can feel that. Again, nothing against Chris Sabat. I love Chris Sabat. He's an amazing dude. I can't wait to ever meet him. But personally, his voice just, it doesn't change between characters. It really doesn't. But that's not a bad thing, you know? It's just, I feel like it's just a typecast for him. And unfortunately, it works and it doesn't work, you know? It works because the dude is all around and he's in every series. But for me, it doesn't work because of the fact that I just feel like to the characters that he gets, he can add so much more depth if he, you know, changes up his voice a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's just me. Again, that's just me.
Hey, man.
But, oh, yeah, man. There ain't nothing wrong with it at all. And stuff like that. So I just hope that we get a change. And now, guys, it is on to our final topic, and this is the one that actually has me with the heaviest of hearts as we do this one. As you can see in the title, just earlier this month, it was announced and it was made note that the creator of Lupin the Third, Monkey Punch, as he's known, but most notably, his name is Kazuhiko Kato. He was originally, it was reported that earlier this month, he had passed away due to having a heart attack. And he passed away at the age of 81 while still working on Lupin the Third, which actually just recently had its, I believe it was its 16th film. And he was still doing work on the manga and the series itself. And it really sucks to hear that, because he's one of those legends in the industry that definitely left a mark with the fact that of his passing. Think of, you know, for a lot of people with Studio Ghibli, right? If anything mm-hmm. happened to Hayao Miyazaki, it would completely, you know, it would hurt a lot of people because of the fact that everyone has grown up with Studio Ghibli. Everyone knows Hayao Miyazaki. But kind of like last year, right? When you're looking at that, people forgot about Isao Takahata. Isao Takahata was also up there with Hayao Miyazaki, and he had passed away last year at the age of 82. Kind of just a year older than Kazuhiko Kato himself. But people fail to remember what Isao Takahata provided to Studio Ghibli, and that he was the director who actually did Grave of the Fireflies, which you actually just recently watched, Op, and you said that film got you so hard.
Ooh, bro, that film messed you up, man.
Yeah, exactly. And to hear about Kazuhiko Kato passing away, it really hurt me because of the fact that I remember getting into Lupin the Third, because that was actually on old school Adult Swim, Toonami, all those back in the day. But I remember specifically getting into Lupin the Third because of the fact that was also when we were getting, Detective Conan, or as it's known over here in the West, Case Closed. And for those who don't know, him and the creator of Case Closed or Detective Conan actually did a lot of projects together. They did so many crossover episodes in Detective Conan, right? But not only did they do episodes, they also did full-length movie crossovers where they worked together on writing a story on why, you know, Conan was running into Lupin the Third again. You know, Lupin the Third is a thief and stuff like that, and he was always getting caught up in shenanigans. But they did so many projects together, and the creator is Gosho Aoyama, or Aoyama. I always say that too fast because of the fact that I slur my words too much. But yeah, they did a lot of those collaborations together, bringing those two series together and doing so many collaborations. And I love that in the anime industry that a lot of the creators do a lot of crossovers. I actually put it out that the creator Gosho Aoyama actually did a art piece for the new Detective Conan film for Fist of the Blue Sapphire, right? He actually did a collaboration with the creator of Fist of the North Star, and did a crossover image of Kenshiro and Detective Conan and a Kaito Kid on a artwork that he tweeted out as a celebration for the film, because of the fact that there is a Fist of the Blue Sapphire series, which is like the early days before Fist of the North Star. So it's always great to kind of see those collaborations and stuff like that. But to hear that he passed away, it was one of those ones kind of that, as the Japanese enthusiast, as an anime fan and as a manga fan, and as notable of my history is, Lupin the Third is one of those iconic series, whether it was given the recognition it was given to or not. But it's so sad to hear that he passed away, and especially of something as simple as a heart attack. You know, it would be different if he was sick and had been fighting with the sickness for a while. But something like a heart attack, something so sudden that could take someone so talented away, it sucks, because I believe that's also what took Isao Takahata-san as well. But I mean, you got to look at these guys. They're 80 years old. They're still doing
mangas and animes and stuff like that, they're still putting in that work and doing these series that are ongoing and have so much to offer still. And for it to kind of go like that, it sucks. And I don't know if he had anyone set in place to kind of pick up what comes next, if anything were to have happened to him. But I really hope that whatever comes next, whatever the studio does, they give him the proper homage that he deserves and the proper send off, and that they take what he left behind with Loop on the Third and they finish it up the right way, the way that he wanted to. I really hope that they do all of that right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, definitely. Like, of course, I knew about Lupin series. I've only seen part of one movie. I can't tell you. It's been so many years since I've seen that movie. But yeah, he's seen both of them pass, bro. It hits you hard, man. Because, like, these are great. These are people, like, we grew up with. Well, most people grew up with. I didn't grow up that much. But, like, a lot of people grew up with, like, their influence in the industry as well. Like, that can't be forgotten. Like, because it's just sad, man. It's just life, man. Like you said, like, the previous people that passed away, it's just, like, it's just one thing that's just going to happen. We don't know when, but it's like when it does happen, but it's going to hit all of us really hard. So, yeah, I really do hope the best, just best of wishes, luck to the whole staff, because I know it's definitely harder than them because they actually work with them. They're much closer to them than us, as family as well. So, I mean, like, just our condolences to the family, the staff, the team, everybody that's worked with them. Really do hope, like, just, like, the best of luck, not best of luck, but just, like, really do hope, like, just they can just get through this, just a moan and grieving process as well. And again, on top of that, you know, just like for him to properly conclude the series as well and just give it a proper sign off. But yeah, you really nailed it, like, yeah. That, right? You really said everything that I really could have said about this. It's just one of those things, bro. It's just sad. You know, just gotta live with it and just keep moving forward. But I really do wish, like, the best of wishes to the family and the staff.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's one of those things that's always heartbreaking to see when we have such iconic, such iconic icons like them being taken away, and the way that they do. It's so hard to see. Oh, and Starbucks said that, you know, she had a stroke at age 30-something, and that heart stuff is scary. Yeah, it really does. It's crazy to think about. Yeah, and with Stan Lee, you know, these guys were up there in their ages. You know, Stan Lee hadn't really been writing or doing as much, but he was still overseeing everything. He was still passionate about what new creators were doing with the stories that him, Jack Kirby, and Steve Ditko, you know, those guys – all of them did together. People did not pay much attention last year when Steve Ditko passed away. You know, him and Stan Lee passing away within the same year is heartbreaking, because those two created some of the most prominent characters in Marvel and have such a legacy. And like I said, when Steve Ditko passed, when we did our remembrance of him, Steve Ditko was the reason that we have the wide Spider-Man enemies that we do, you know, his Rogues Galaxy. He also was the one who created Doctor Strange and all that. You know, those are the kinds of heroes that leave those legacies, and what Kazuhiko-san leaves behind with Loop on the Third is another classic legacy, because these guys were working well into their old age. You know, again, Stan Lee wasn't doing much, but he was overseeing it. He was a producer. He was following the passions that the new generation was doing with the films and leaving his little mark on and all that, you know, over the past, you know, really 20 years, because you think about the early X-Men films and Fantastic Four and stuff like that. He was doing all those. He did the, you know, his MCU cameos in the original Sam Raimi Spider-Man films, stuff like that. So he's been doing that for a while. It's hard to see that when you grow up with these heroes, because of the fact that you know what their legacy means. Mm-hmm. And speaking of remembering a legacy of someone being left behind, while this was reported earlier this month, I actually just found an article that just came out yesterday, early yesterday morning, and was just sent to me, is that not only did Kazuhiko Kato pass away, we also lost another really famous manga author himself, which was Kazuo Koiki. And for those who don't know about Kazuo Koiki, he was the author behind behind the Lone Wolf and Cub series, Lady Snowblood, Crying Freeman, Mad Wolf 34, and The Starving Man. Other really big, prominent, and especially Crying Freeman. Shout out to Megatron. Crying Freeman is one of his classics, right? That's one that when he hears about the anime stuff and me and him talk on it, you know, Crying Freeman is one of his most prominent and remembered anime and manga series. And he passed away as well yesterday. And just kind of hearing that, you know, it's hard. You know, some of these creators are leaving very notable big series behind, you know, especially with Kazuo, right? He left Lone Wolf and Cub behind. You know, that's one of the classics, but specifically he left Lady Snowblood. It was a writer for Lady Snowblood. And for those who don't know, Lady Snowblood, the manga, is actually what inspired the adaptation that we saw for Kill Bill. That was inspired completely based on Lady Snowblood by Quentin Tarantino when he saw that movie, as well as reading the manga for that. So that kind of shows you what kind of legacy these guys are leaving behind, man. So it's crazy to hear about these icons passing away and see it, because of the fact that, like, for us, it hits us harder because we know their history, we know their legacy, we know what it means to the community for us, man. It's crazy to see.
Yeah, man, definitely is wild to see.
Yeah.
Just like, kind of leave you speechless when you really think about it.
Yeah, there's not much to say other than go back and remember what these guys left behind. Know what history that they're leaving, the legacy. If you haven't read or know any of these series, you have to do yourself that favor of going out to read these. Like I said, especially from Kazuo Koike, go read Lady Snowblood, go read Crying Freeman, go read Bull 34. That's probably one of my favorite ones. Lone Wolf and Cub, you actually have to see and read yourself. Lone Wolf and Cub is probably one of the most prominent, but you definitely, I recommend without a doubt, watch and read Crying Freeman, read Lady Snowblood, and you will see just what kind of talent that he was. And then for Lupin the Third, the series and the manga is all over the place, but well worth it. But if not, go watch the movies. The movies will not leave you like you will see what kind of stories and characters he created with Lupin the Third and that whole group. And for those who don't know, Lupin the Third was actually an actual thief that he liked the idea of, and he took that and kind of made his own story of it all. So it kind of shows you what he did and kind of doing his own thing with it. So it's crazy to think about. Oh man, I don't know, it kind of hits me hard in it because of the fact that, you know, I grew up with these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely understand from your perspective because you're more familiar with his work as well than I am.
Yeah, because of the fact that because for Lupin the Third, it follows the story of Arsène Lupin the Third, who was the grandson of the actual great or the actual thief Arsène Lupin, who was actually written about or created by French writer Maurice Leblanc. So a lot of it is continuing and playing on, you know, that's cultures right there, passing, you know, jumping cultures. You know, it was written, you know, Arsène Lupin was a thief written by a French writer back in the early 1900s. And then you had a Japanese author create a story based on his grandson. Like, that kind of shows you what they're doing, man. Like, it's crazy. It's just one of those things, man. It hurts to think about, but
yeah, man.
Go honor these guys the right way. John Schnapp worked on stuff like Metalocalypse and tons of other comic relating stuff, in case y'all didn't know of him. Oh yeah, I know John Schnapp. And I actually have heard of the Collider Heroes comic podcast before. So yeah. Yeah, true. His work will carry on most definitely. And that's why I really hope that anyone who hasn't paid attention to these series really goes out and reads it. They owe it to themselves if they haven't experienced these series to really go do it. Because like I said, these series have left such a legacy, and some of them have transcended barriers, with Lady Snowblood being the inspiration for Quentin Tarantino for Kill Bill. That shows what that inspiration from that Japanese story did. And we've seen how big Kill Bill was, same with the fact that for Kazuhiko being inspired by a French writer writing a story about a thief wanting to go back and create his own story following the grandson of that thief, I don't know if it's on Netflix. I believe it might be on Netflix still, but if it's not, definitely go wherever you can to try and find it, because it's well worth checking out. Like that, this is one of those ones that you should, if you have a library, if anyone still uses the library, go to the library, go rent and check out some of those old mangas and stuff like that. Definitely well worth it. Like, it's one of those things. Now, with that being said, that was everything that we had for tonight. So we do want to thank everyone who stopped by and showing love and being here. Everyone, especially in the chat, Novad, Starbuck, you guys are amazing. Of course, Kedron, you too, Jay Slayer, having you stop here for a little bit. Like everyone who was talking, it was greatly appreciated. Now, if y'all weren't here last week when we made the announcement, when G threw it out there, we are doing a brand new giveaway for all of you guys that I'm about to drop the link here for y'all. It is actually going to be the first official Smash Crate, as we're calling it, where we're going to do giveaways with themed events and crates for you guys. We're going to have nice little collectibles in there for you guys. So this one, for those who didn't check out last week, was actually going to be Star Wars themed because of the fact that we were talking about it in regards to the Star Wars celebration. And the one thing that we will be doing for you guys that I will tell you that is going to be in it is that it is going to have one of these special edition gold chrome Funko Pops of Darth Vader. So trust me, you guys want to go and check this out. Yes, the name Smash Crate. We literally threw that out there at the as we did, and we're just like, you know what? Let's just run with it. So we're gonna be doing these every so often, but constant enough to give you guys something as thanks for what y'all do for us. So go follow the link right there in the description or there in the chat. Make sure y'all do that. Tweet it out. Share it on Facebook. Do all that good stuff. For us, it'd be greatly appreciated. We're trying to grow and do more, of course. And before we get out of here, Op, let them know where they can find you at, what you doing, man.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Operation Oppo or just Cyrus Break. Keep it simple. Me, just be
Cyrus.
Yeah, on Twitter, retweeting, liking stuff, not saying much usually until someone ticks me off. But yeah, I'm just gonna be over here chilling, playing games, grinding away at anime, the usual stuff.
Yeah. And we're going to be, hopefully, me and you are going to be back on that co-op stream grind here soon, get back into Halo, because we need
to. Yeah, got to finish the fight, man. Got to finish the fight.
Hey, man, we got to restart the fight because we forgot where we left off after all this time.
Right?
I mean, it's been like months and we're just like, man, all right, just redo it all. Just start over.
Right. Best do it that way.
Yeah. But yeah, of course, guys, check out everyone else. Follow Super G down below. His information is in the description. Of course, also make sure you follow Soul King on Twitter as well. Follow me on Twitter. Of course, if you click down below in the description, you'll see a link to my actual link tree, which will actually have all of my social media. So it'll take you to our Facebook page that I have set up for what we post around and other stuff like that. Of course, I'll take you to my Instagram as well, Twitter. Also take you over to our Mixer channel or my Mixer channel where we do a lot of co-streams and stuff like that, but where I'm streaming quite constantly whenever I'm not over here doing shows for you beautiful people. We got stuff coming up. And like I said, we got content coming up here soon for the channel. Definitely a lot of things in the work. Been super busy, super all over the place. We got events that we're going to be at. So it's all going to be right there for you guys. Of course, make sure you share this all over wherever you can, as well as over on my link tree. For those who aren't aware, we also have the show on Spotify and on multiple other audio podcast websites. So if you look up Smash Podcast on Anchor FM, on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, as well as a bunch of others, you will actually find some of our old shows up there in audio form as we're posting them all up, getting everything ready for the spoiler cast next week for Avengers Endgame as we try to get that backlog set up for you guys. So trust me, you're going to want to make sure that you check all that out for us, guys. But until next time, guys, make sure that if you aren't following or subscribed, that y'all hit the subscribe button. It is greatly appreciated. Hit the like button, share it out with everyone you know, and all that good stuff. Tweet out whenever we go live. It is always greatly appreciated. We don't ask for much, but we do appreciate every one of you guys here in the chat. So until next time, guys, peace out and check you later.
Peace.